Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Tim Sanders is our guest. He's a new friend. He's Chief Solutions Officer at a little company you probably heard of, Yahoo. And he's got a book out called Love is the Killer App. And when he introduced his book, he introduced an idea that he thought was rather unique to him, perhaps, maybe only a few other people. And he found out he was wrong, and he's here to talk to us a little bit about that. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. I bet this was interesting. You wrote a book. You had an idea. You thought about how – you talked about in your book how to build relationships, and we're going to get you to tell us a little bit about that in a minute. But then you found out that you weren't as unique in the things that you were concerned about as you thought you were, and people started contacting you and saying, hey, I got that too. why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
It was like I was an instant doctor. You know, Jim, whenever you're a doctor, everywhere you go, somebody's like, yeah, my elbow hurts. And you said, but I'm a gynecologist. And they go, oh, okay, well, this is my wife. So what happened for me...
Hey, Tim, I do the jokes on the show.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll be the straight guy. I'll be the Pat Summerall. You continue to be the John Madden. Hey, man. So I write a book about a year and a half ago, actually. And the book basically has the premise that we're dying of loneliness at work. And we're doing it because of technology and because we're afraid of intimacy. We don't know how to build relationships anymore. You know, we'd rather send an email from 10 feet than get up and go have a conversation, especially men. Then have a conversation with folks, and we're not being trained on the art of human relations. We're so far away from Dale Carnegie. It's decades removed at this point. And when I wrote the book, the publisher, my sponsor, Tom Peters, we all thought that I would be talking to a handful of, say, like, engineers,
mm-hmm.
Website producers, you know, the other people that are in their cubicles all day long,
uh-huh.
et cetera, et cetera. And the book came out on Valentine's Day last year. And the email started to flood in. After 10,000 emails, Jim, I realized that it wasn't just a software engineer.
Right.
It was a married sales manager with two kids and 16 salespeople who reads email 10 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secretary. It's a person who works in customer service. It was everybody. And it was the nature of this new information economy. Everybody said, I'm dying of loneliness, too. And so we begin to talk to the major media because the book just came out in paperback recently. And we told the media, we said, this is a big deal. There's a hospital in New York that even calls it NEDS, which is short for New Economy Depression Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And this is spreading across the cubicle farms of the country and fast. So some of the major media, like the New York Times or Psychology Today, said you need to do a study, like a real study with a control group and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the companies that had contacted me saying, you're not alone, was an organization in California called the HeartMath Institute. And I'd heard of them before. I'd seen them on, like, ABC News, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And they specialize in what stress does to the heart. They know this inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
And having a research institute, they worked with me, and I funded a study of over 1,500 respondents across the country. The study looked at the relationship between too much Internet usage, too much interruption, say from email and your cell phone and your instant messenger, and a decline in your personal relationships and in depression symptomatology. And we found, after doing the study, an alarming and significant relationship between the always-on worker and depression. And it showed up with things like, I'm tired all the time. I'm irritable all the time. I'm tense.
My folks around here would say, how would they know?
Exactly. How would they tell the difference?
How would they know if I was ill or grumpy all the time? What did you come up with the name New Economy Depression Syndrome?
Well, I was good enough to spot it and say I like that. It was actually a graduate student at University of Princeton Hospital was joking around in a paper. What the student was talking about was how it's self-reinforcing in men, meaning that when you get it, you get lonely and you don't have any more friends except people online.
Right.
You start searching online for solutions. You try to find a piece of software or a dating service or something to fix it,
so
and then it's a syndrome.
It's what they call the first, what you're advising people is the first rule of holes. When you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Stand by,
exactly.
Tim. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with Tim Sanders, who's going to be continuing to visit with us the rest of this hour. We're going to talk about what he's found out about this new economy depression syndrome. Do you have it? Stay tuned. We'll see if we can find out for you. Please come stay with us.
Roll away again. I'm sitting on the...
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me tell you about our show coming up straight ahead. Phil Harriman is going to join us. He's with the Million Dollar Roundtable. He's going to talk to us about some investment ideas that I think will benefit you. I know you'll be interested in. And then after that, Governor Pete DuPont. Remember him? Former governor of Delaware and now an outstanding advocate for free market issues is going to join us. He's got some things to say. And then we'll be talking with Stephanie Vance and Jorian Clark, and I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. We're visiting with our new friend Tim Sanders, who's Chief Solution Officer of Yahoo Incorporated, and he's got a book out called Love is the Killer App. And, Tim, why don't you tell us where the book's available?
The book's available in all fine stores where better books are sold. You can also go to www.timsanders.com. Download a chapter of the book for free and buy it directly from Amazon from that site.
Yeah, check that out when you get a chance. And you haven't figured out how to sell it on Yahoo yet?
Oh, I have, but I tell you what, with there's a gazillion and five Amazon users, it's just a click away. And, you know, Yahoo just changed our shopping platform. So now it's best to think of Yahoo as your trusted advisor, meaning we're here to help you do price comparisons, quality comparisons, and find reviews.
Yeah.
We've kind of gotten out of the buy it from us business.
I got you. All right.
Because I think that's kind of what people think of us as anyways, a search and communications partner.
We call that sticking to your knitting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've got the best CEO for that. Terry Simmel from Warner Brothers showed up, and I believe that's been the message for a few years now.
Right, stick to your knitting. Okay, now, when you wrote your book, you found out that, I'm sure you probably read the book Megatrends by John Nesbitt. He said, we're going to gravitate to high tech, but we're always going to want high touch.
That's right.
Do you still believe that?
Well, I believe it's truer than ever. Truer than ever. I think that people need high touch. They need the warmth of real relationships during these times more than they ever have. And the reason why is multiple reasons, but the big one is change. I mean, we face change at a velocity that our grandparents would not be able to understand.
See, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's what my audience has heard me say this. What I've said, Tim, is that nothing really has changed under the sun in 5,000 years since somebody invented the wheel and discovered how to make fire, because all we have are new rules. But the one thing that has changed is the velocity of change. That's the only thing to me that's new.
Yep. And you know what I think is very interesting, and I tie this directly to small business, because I mentioned to you before I'm doing a large interview with a major small business magazine next month on this subject.
You can't tell us who it is?
Oh, I can. It's Fortune Small Business, November issue.
Good folks.
We're going to do a huge piece on this idea of the digital divide. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear so much about the digital divide between rich countries and poor countries.
Right.
You're starting to hear about the digital divide between big business and small business, meaning that big business could afford it early. They exploited it. They thought they created barriers to entry. And now here comes small business with a lot of affordable products, and they're getting online fast.
Most of which affordable products were developed by other small businesses.
Exactly. Boy, from your lips to God's ears. Is that true? And is that consistent with history or what? But what I've noticed is something even more interesting, and it's consistent with this idea that I talk about in my book as well as the research on NIDS. And that's the idea of the difference between digital natives and digital immigrants. And kind of follow me on this, Jim, because it's wacky thinking. But I've got a kid, and he's 17. He has been in a digital environment since he was about 4. Mm-hmm. He's been online since he was about 9, because I've been online a long time in my household, you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So he spent the great majority of his life in a digital environment. You would call him a digital native.
Okay.
I'm 42. I've spent about the same amount of time online and digital. Unfortunately for me, it's only about a fifth of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Call me a digital immigrant. He can handle being online 8 hours a day without it creating stress.
Mm-hmm.
He can actually maintain a relationship over instant messenger without having a miscommunication or a misunderstanding. I, on the other hand, cannot. If I get 200 emails in a day, I break down. If someone sends me an email and it's in all capital letters and I don't get it, I'm upset. I forward it to the company and we have a fight on our hands because I'm a digital immigrant, okay?
Right.
Here's the problem. Because of this digital divide, you've got a lot of small businesses going online for the first time. You've got business owners, family business owners in many cases, and they're not just 42, they're 52, they're 62. They haven't been on a percent, you know, 10% of their life. Yet when they roll on, they get the whole enchilada, right? They get broadband, they get a laptop, they get one of those CrackBerry, BlackBerry two-way pagers
it's
that they put on their
blast.
Belt.
It's a muzzle blast, isn't it?
Oh. And they immediately go into information overload from day one.
Yeah.
And they wonder why the productivity at their company drops. And the reason why is the less you've been on, the more you need to be vigilant. This is a drug. It's a good drug if you use it right. But it's an overwhelming drug if you don't.
Do you think
so as a result, we're going to see a lot of experimentation in small business over the next few years, a lot of two steps forward, one step back. And my recommendation is moderation and moderation. And keep up your human relations training.
What,
and I mean the
what
real
I'm
stuff.
Concerned about, Tim, is it's two steps forward and three steps back.
It could be.
That some people actually abort the adoption of technology.
Well, you know, all you need is a good reason to say you were right all along.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a good one. And, you know, all you need to do is say, you know, no one's talking to anyone anymore. Turnover's out the window. Let's throw the computers out. And that's a bad solution. What you do instead is you work on this idea of powerful business relationships.
Which we're going to talk about some more right after these messages, folks, with our new friend Tim Sanders, the author of Love is the Killer App. Check it out wherever fine books are sold and a couple of places where they're not so fine. Tim Till, stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, visiting with our new friend Tim Sanders, Chief Solution Officer with Yahoo, the author of Love is the Killer App, one of the guy who identified the syndrome, a condition called New Economy Depression Syndrome, and that's what we're talking about. Is it, you know, how's this affecting you? And Tim, one of the things I wanted to remind people is something you offered earlier off the air, and I want to make sure we get this out. Folks, if you'd like to find out if you have NIDS, Tim, tell us what we can do about that.
Just go to www.gotneds.com, GOTNEDS.com.
Think of Got Milk, folks, and think and instead say Got NIDS, NEDS.
You could take a test there to do a self-survey, see if you show either the lifestyle or the symptoms of NIDS. You could also read the study results. And, you know, Jim, just to give you the highlights of the study results.
Let me stop you for a second, Tim.
Sure.
If we take the test and we find out that we're like the worst example, we're the most incredible example of NEDS in the world, is there a quick helpline we can dial in case we go into a purple funk or something?
Purple funk. There are some resources on the site. You know, obviously I recommend to a lot of folks to fix this with your love life, not just at home but at work. You can link directly to the book. There's also links directly to HeartMath. They have a host of different solutions. Some are technology. Some are for companies. So, yeah, there's a lot of resources there for that.
Okay. And, folks, you know, I'm making a little bit of a joke, but the truth is there could be companies right now who are not being successful because of this condition inside their business.
Oh, and, you know, you're absolutely right, Jim. In Norway, for example, the International Labor Organization has found out that workplace depression caused by too much information is the number one cause of sick days in Norway, and it's coming. So, you know, you're going to see entire companies, they're going to get sick with this, and what they're getting sick with is an addiction to using anything other than human relations. So it's an addiction to email. It's an addiction to this passive-aggressive hiding behind your laptop in a big cubicle kind of way of even running a small business. But here's the good news I found, is that if people adopt a system I talk about in my book, this idea of growing through mentoring, helping others, it's going to work faster for small businesses than it will big businesses.
Right.
It will, much like Dale Carnegie experienced in the 40s, tip the scales back, see?
Don't have the organizational firewalls that the big companies do we?
Correct. You've got smaller, closer lines. If that becomes the company philosophy, you can also show it to the customer faster, because the customer already has a bias that the small business person has their heart in it for them, and the big business person doesn't. So, you know, it's much more executable. And there's one example when I was traveling last year of a great small business story, and it's the story of a PT's Cafe Express in Topeka, Kansas, little itty-bitty coffee shop. They've been in the community 25 years. And all of a sudden, Starbucks comes into Topeka. And, you know, as the owner, Jeff Taylor, told me, it's not the Starbucks that's across the street from you that kills you. It's the second one they bring in 2 months later next door.
Right.
So, you know, when all their employees were freaking out, saying, what are we going to do? Here comes Starbucks. We're going to go out of business. Jeff said, wait a minute. We've been a small business in this community for decades. We supported the Little League team. When the tornado came through, we helped clean up the city. These people know us. So he put a big sign in the window, and the slogan saved their company. And the slogan's this: without the love, it's just coffee.
I love that.
And he focused on what people had bought.
Say that again.
Without the love, it's just coffee. And he reminded people that they came to his place for decades for the relationship. And that's my biggest advice to small businesses. Get back to relationships. Maslow said, if you're great with a hammer, you treat everything like a nail.
Yeah.
So get back to relationships. It's your stronghold in the market.
You know, Tim, one of the things that I try to encourage people to focus on, another way that I say sort of what you're saying is that people need things and they want things. Give them, let the people who give them things that they need do that. You know, the big box companies, let them give people what they need. But small business owners need to focus on what people want. People need to eat, but they want to dine. Need a home, but they need shelter, but they want a home. And they need clothing, but they want a look. So you know, it's like you say, it's the give them the love. That's that, or the relationship, as you say. And that's something that for some reason small business owners need to learn. And if we can, I think small business owners can dominate with that concept.
And the reason why is because the world is easy enough to conquer. I mean, you're not, you know, looking at a constellation of 20 million customers. And
right.
And there's a philosophy I talk about in the book. It's my saying. Like when I start training someone to become this love cat, I got one saying, Jim, I'd even say it to you, about success. You will accomplish more in the next 2 months developing a sincere interest in two people than you'll ever accomplish in the next 2 years trying to get two people interested in you.
Tim Sanders, well said, well done today. Thank you very much. I hope you'll come back another day.
I sure will, Jim. Thank you a lot.
Tim Sanders, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.